snowy Monday morning here in the city of Toronto. Coco, you're out in Oakville. Wherever you are, thank you for being with us. And whether you're listening live on tsn1050.ca or on the iHeartRadio Canada app, or listening via podcast on Spotify or on iTunes, we appreciate it. And we appreciate our next guest joining us. It is Jack Armstrong, who, Carlo, we had on last week. We asked Jack how he was going to simultaneously broadcast an incredible game between the Raptors and the Bucks and watch his beloved Buffalo Bills. And we didn't necessarily know at the time, but just dismantle the Patriots. And let's find out. We welcome him to the show now. It is Jack Armstrong from the NBA on TSN. Quite the Saturday night for you, Jack.
It sure was, Aaron. And good morning, guys. Obviously, as you know, right now, we were traveling, doing the games, and now because of all the restrictions, we're not traveling at this point. So we're calling the games, the road games, from the arena. So I requested an extra monitor to have next to me so that the game was on. So I was able to catch the Bills Chiefs during commercial breaks, and obviously before that, the Bengals Raiders game. So that was nice, and obviously the Raptors played great as well, and the Bills had a huge win, so it was a tremendous Saturday night, to say the least.
Who had the better night, Pascal Siakam or Josh Allen?
You know what? That's a really, really good question. I would have to say Josh Allen because it was in a playoff game.
Yes.
But, you know, having watched Pascal his whole career, and to see what he's doing this year, you know, obviously he was an all-star and, you know, was all-league as well a few years back. He's playing better than that right now. So that to me is really good. And we've talked a lot about Fred VanVleet making the all-star game. And no matter what happens tonight with the Raptors-Miami game, the Raptors are going to finish the first half of the season. This is game 41 tonight. They're going to finish the first half with a winning record. And considering not only, obviously, the COVID outbreak that they've had and a lot of other teams, most every team has had, but they've had a ton of injuries as well that they've had to kind of work their way through and navigate. And for them to be at the point they're at right now is pretty remarkable. And considering that Pascal Siakam didn't play basketball for 5-6 months after surgery, missed training camp, and jumped on a moving train to play the season, and people were going nuts, you know, game 6-7 when he was struggling. You knew he was going to struggle because he hadn't played basketball in 6 months.
Yeah.
So to see where he is now, I think speaks volumes about his growth, his development, his tenacity, his improvement, and it's nice to watch. So, you know, he was just incredible the other night. And I thought Nick Nurse coached a phenomenal game, kind of playing off of the instincts of Milwaukee and how they defend and what they like to do and what they don't like to do. And then obviously defensively doing a great job limiting them in transition, putting them on a line a ton. You know, so there was a lot of cool stuff. And then you see, you know, a guy like Precious Achiuwa, you know, Ken Birch, that's a big loss. I don't know how long he's going to be out with the, you know, he had with the surgery with the nose and all that. He's a really good player for them, and they're going to miss him. And he's been out a few times now. But Precious Achiuwa did a great job filling in there. Chris Boucher continues to play really, really well off the bench. He's really got in a good place right now the last few weeks. And then Justin Champagne, man, the guy just goes and gets it on the glass. He plays with energy. And, you know, so those guys really contributed beautifully to help the cause. And, you know, again, without, as I mentioned, Ken Birch, and then you talk about not having Scotty Barnes and Gary Trent Jr., and you're on the road on a back-to-back after not playing well at all against Detroit the night before, you would think it would have been the other way around. To me, it was really impressive and had to be a very satisfying night for the Raptors. And now they play tonight against Miami, and then Wednesday, Dallas, Friday, Washington on the road, all teams are winning records.
Jack, I would imagine that the way the Bills were dominating the Patriots put you at ease to concentrate more on the Raptors game because it was a blowout. It was a total, complete domination by the Buffalo Bills. But you had just mentioned that, you know, the effort Friday night against the Pistons, led by Dwayne Casey, who has a 5-0 record right now against his former team, the Toronto Raptors. I don't know if it's a voodoo doll that he has or whatever, you know, magic potion that he's created to have the amount of success that he's been able to have against the Raptors. But considering how bad they played and all the things stacked up against them going into Saturday night, especially a team that had Giannis in the lineup, I mean, were you surprised that the Raptors came out with that type of effort and ultimately the victory against the Bucks?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Dwayne's won 5 in a row against the Raptors. And you know, when you look at the next night, and the Raptors were down 15 early to Milwaukee.
Right.
And here's the thing. You guys know this. You know, a lot of times the worst thing that can happen, you're playing at home on a Saturday night, you're up big early, and now you say to yourself, you know, this is going to be easy. You know, they're just going to roll over, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be a night of celebration. We're going to have a good time. And then suddenly Bobby Portis and Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet get a little bit engaged, and things start to get a little heated. And from, you know, suddenly the Raptors, okay, yeah, all right. You know, you want to poke the bear a little bit. Okay, go right ahead. And then suddenly, from that point on, I really found a team that really got dialed in very quickly. And you know, they were, from that point on, they really dictated the style of play. They adjusted to what needed to be adjusted to early, and played a great game. And you know, when you play Milwaukee, they're very health conscious. They're really cognizant of protecting the paint. You're going to get 3-point shot opportunities against them. And you know, they were sending a second defender constantly at Siakam and VanVleet. And if the ball comes out of that double quickly and you can find the open man, you're going to get good shots against it. You know, they don't have Brook Lopez, you know, so they're a little, as great as they are with Giannis, you know, you can go get it on the offensive glass against them. And the Raptors did. And the other thing the Raptors did, you know, you pound the offensive glass, they can't leak guys out. They can't run on you as much. I thought the Raptors did a good job just keeping them out of transition, making, you know, Giannis work for everything he got, you know, put him on the line a ton, which is okay, limit his dunks, limit the home run three balls. So a lot of really good stuff that they did in terms of tactical adjustments in-game. You know, Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby, forget the numbers. Their performance was, again, you know, those are three guys with rings. And you know, the Bucks, a bunch of their guys have rings on their fingers now from winning last year. So these are two teams that know what it takes. And I just thought the grit, the toughness, the compete level, the jam that they played with the other night was tremendous. And you clearly, you know, after losing to Detroit, that was one of the more disheartening losses of the season, considering how well they had been playing. And then to go and win a game like that, you know, was probably one of the more satisfying games, if not the most, this season.
Our guest is Jack Armstrong. A tough test tonight for the Raps, Jack. The third game in 4 nights. They're in Miami, a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. Kyle Lowry will not be playing his first game against his former team. He is out due to personal reasons, but the Heat are getting Bam Adebayo back. Man, the Heat are a team, and you, especially considering Durant out 4 to 6 weeks, wouldn't surprise me at all if Miami made a serious run in the second half and won the East. They are stacked. I mean, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and Lowry and Jimmy Butler and Adebayo. I mean, this is a team that's as complete as anyone in the East right now. Jack, like, what do you make of Miami and their chances going forward? And, you know, as far as being a legitimate title contender.
Yeah, you know, I mean, secondary players, they've done, you know, guys like Max Struss, guys like that. I mean, they've gotten, they're a team to keep an eye on, no doubt. Milwaukee, to me, looks like a team that's just having a little slight bit of championship hangover, but they'll be fine. The Nets, you're right with the KD thing, and obviously, Kyrie's only able to play road games. I haven't had a chance to look at their schedule the next 4 to 6 weeks to see if it's more home or road heavy, which obviously will have an impact to a degree. And then you have Miami, and then you have Chicago. Those would be the four that right now, at this moment, sit in the top four. Chicago, you know, has had a really, really good year. And I think it is. If you're Miami, you should look at yourself right now and say, why not us? You know, I think Philadelphia is coming on and playing well. Cleveland's been a pleasant surprise. But I think if you're Miami and you're looking around the East, you're going, hey, if there's a time to make a push, this would be the time to make it. I would say that they're a team that could consider themselves in that category. And Kyle Lowry, obviously we won't see him tonight. And it's funny, I taped a SportsCenter hit yesterday, and I don't even know if it aired.
I'm sure it aired. What do you mean? They taped it with you, Jack. How could they not air it?
No, my point is we taped it, and then a few hours later
last night,
they announced that Kyle wasn't going to play, so I don't even know if it went to air or not.
Well, you saw Josh Lueberg wrote this whole column about Lowry and Raptors and the relationship with Van Vliet, and they said, oh, actually he's not playing. He's like, oh, well, that was a big waste of time. Thanks, Kyle.
Well, I think it's a great line. It's a Yiddish term. What is it? Man plans, God laughs. Right? You know, I mean, exactly. Like we plan and God laughs, and that's a classic example of it where you just, you could have everything planned out, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then suddenly he's not playing. But, you know, to me, Kyle's been what they wanted from him. I mean, he's just, and again, you know, you can get caught up in statistics and start breaking down this, that, the other thing. But he brings a championship grit and toughness to him and a leadership level. And when the moments get bigger and bigger, he's going to be there for you. So, you know, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, guys like that, they understand what the value of that is, because they've seen him perform and do it for so many years. And the things that he shows those young players and the confidence he instills in those guys, and the discussions and the intellect that he has for the game is off the charts. So, you see what Fred VanVleet has become as an NBA player. You don't think that some of that from Kyle has rubbed off from Kyle Lowry? Absolutely. You know, so to me, if you're Miami, you know, even if statistically he might be a beat off of where he has been, that's okay, because it's the other stuff that rubs off that makes your whole organization better. And as we all know, the sum is more important than the parts. The parts is super important in our league, particularly your top three guys, because you win or lose based upon playing through them. But nonetheless, there's also an element that permeates through the whole roster. And so many nights you need that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh guy to give you maybe a little something more than he normally does. And when you have good role models that teach you the right way to perform and prepare to play as a pro, that really starts to help.
Well, even without Lowry in the lineup for Miami, a tough test for the Raptors nonetheless. It's a game, again, you can hear on TSN 1050. Jack, thank you very much for doing this for us. When we chat with you next week, hopefully we're discussing a Buffalo Bills AFC Conference Championship appearance. And I have a good feeling, and I know Carlo does too, that will indeed be the case.
Well, I'm excited. You know, 6:30 Sunday night, and that's a game. The Raptors play that night, but thankfully.
Not again.
No. But that night it's not a TSN TV game.
There you go, Jack.
You called the big wigs at TSN. Be like, Sportsnet, take this game. I got to watch the Bills.
I can clearly now, in good conscience, be able to watch both in a very comfortable way. Rather than feel guilty a little bit, sneaking a peek at the Bills now and then during a Milwaukee game. But this one I can casually watch. I wouldn't say casually, but at least keep my eye on both very intently. And the interesting thing, you know, last year the Chiefs beat the Bills twice. And now the Bills beat them this year. So the familiarity's there. This is the fourth time they played in two seasons. So there's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. And the thing that I'm curious to see, I mean, these teams, I think they're going to get right after it from the beginning of the game. This is going to be a heavyweight fight, and 15 rounds, center of the ring, here we go. So I'm really excited.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited for Sunday
last
night.
Possession wins. Incredible. Seems like it's going to be last possession wins.
Could be. It'll be an amazing football game.
Hope the guys from Western New York are the ones with the possession.
You know it, buddy. You know it.
Best of luck, Jack, in the broadcast tonight and certainly throughout the week. A lot of good Raptors games ahead, and we'll chat with you next week. Maybe we can book in a Monday morning appearance, win or lose for the Bills. The Raptors play as well on Sunday night, so hopefully we can set that up with you, and we appreciate your time this morning.
You got it, guys. Have a great day.
See you, Jack.
You too.
Jack Armstrong from the NBA on TSN. Yeah, that must be tough for, and thankfully for Jack, I mean, he doesn't have to, no, of course he loves calling Raps games and everything associated with that. Of course, that's his job, that's his passion, but I mean, the Bills playing the Chiefs, and, you know, of course he's going to be watching the Raps with one eye, but most of his eyes will be on.
Oh, yeah, all of his
eyes. Who are we kidding here? This is a huge game, because listen, man, the Bills get past KC. They take on the winner of Tennessee and Cincinnati, and yes, they would have to travel to Tennessee if they do beat Kansas City, but I think the Bills would be the favorite side if they can take out KC, even in Tennessee, depending on how that game goes. But
I'm not necessarily sure about that, because I mean, if the Tennessee Titans get Derrick Henry back,
Danny
Rossini just tweeted that he's going to be back on Sunday. So,
yeah, of course, we knew that.
And remember the last time the Titans played the Bills, it was Derrick Henry show, right? So you'd have to think that have to play a factor in the spread of that game, considering it's a home game. So we'll see what happens.
You'd think so. We will be joined by Sal Capaccio of WGR in Buffalo, and we'll get his thoughts. How are the Bills faithful? How is the Bills media feeling about the trip to KC in a game that should be an all-time classic? He joins us next as First Up continues. This is TSN 1050.
Eastbound Gardner, the ramp to southbound Islington blocked with a crash. And on the eastbound Gardner past Park Lawn, all lanes blocked now with another crash here. Eastbound 401 collectors at Islington, stalled vehicle in the two right lanes. Eastbound on the 401 in the collectors, Western Road to the 400 now is closed. We've got multiple stalled vehicles in this spot. The westbound 401 express and collectors past Leslie blocked with another stalled vehicle here. It's your chance to win free flights for a year in the state-of-the-art Boeing 737 MAX. Lynx Air, Canada's newest affordable airline. Enter at flylinx.com. From the Newstalk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Eleni Stamatatos.
Number one in supporting each other.
I'm behind you, whatever you need, buddy.
Springtime, I'm getting into rock climbing.
That's good.
Overdrive, Toronto's legends of the couch. Weekdays 4 to 7 on TSN 1050.
Can I rescind my support?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm I wish I didn't say that.
All the talk on Saturday night leading up to the Patriots' visit to Buffalo was, oh, it's so cold. Josh Allen's feet, there's no circulation. He should take Viagra. Belichick will dominate him. That was not the case. Not the case at all when it came to the performance of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And a man who was there to see it, he covers the team for WGR 550 in Buffalo, is Sal Capaccio. And he joins us now on First Up. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Yeah, it was quite the cold experience on Saturday night, but it felt a lot warmer because of the result and the party in the stadium.
Well, Sal, so obviously you were in the stadium with the way you just answered that question. Tell us what it was like. I mean, we heard Josh Allen talk pregame saying he was going to go sleeveless because he wanted to feel the ball, and then him saying that, you know, when he stepped onto the field, it was too cold, he had to go with the long sleeves. But give us the live fan experience of what it was like in that stadium.
Well, from two different points, I'll start with the weather. Look, it was really cold. I'm not going to diminish that at all. I mean, at one point when I first walked out, I think my eyes actually hurt. I don't think I've ever had my eyes hurt from the cold. You know, I'm wearing like a ski mask, and you know, because I'm talking a little bit, believe it or not, to be gross, but it was like it froze like where my mouth was at one point. Like, that's how crazy it was. And then I posted a picture on Twitter on my social media at Sal Sports. I don't know if you guys saw, I got too close to that, one of those torpedo heaters on the sidelines, and it melted my glove. It literally melted my glove. The insulation of the glove was showing because I was trying to.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at this. It looks like Freddy Krueger's glove.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible, right? I couldn't believe it. But those things are no joke, by the way. So don't get too close to those. But I'm not trying to diminish it. I will tell you, though, I prefer that over what we had that Monday night against the Patriots because that wind and cold is so bad. There was no wind, right? I mean, it's really cold. But if you can stay, if you're dressed warm enough, you can handle that. That wind, though, that was so bad on that Monday night. Now, some of my media colleagues disagreed with me and said, no way, it's just way too cold for them. So from that standpoint, the other part of it was, look, guys, I mean, we went into this game of all of the angst of, oh, my God, it's New England, it's the Patriots. It's one thing to have your season on the line, but can you imagine losing to this team? Like, how bad is Sunday going to suck all day? And we're going to want to watch football. I'm not going to want to talk about this. It's that team. And, you know, there was never any of that. It was a literal party in the stadium from the opening kickoff till the end. It was almost like a relaxed atmosphere in a way of if people just enjoyed it. There was never any angst or anxiety, really, after the Micah Hyde interception and the Bills went down and made it 14-0. Everyone knew that the Bills were winning that night. No doubt about it.
Well, the Micah Hyde interception was an incredible play.
Absolutely
remarkable defensive play. Yeah, it wasn't a bad throw by Mac Jones. It might not have been absolutely perfect, but the play that Micah Hyde made on that ball was, needless to say, a game changer for the Buffalo Bills. So, Sal, some people around the NFL media are calling this performance by the Bills the greatest offensive game of all time. And I don't know if that might be a little bit of hyperbole, but it was a perfect game. They didn't punt. They didn't fumble. They didn't have a fourth down. I mean, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns, and then the kneels. When you think about that in perspective of NFL history, would you consider this one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive performance in NFL history?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're living in a new era, right? In a time period where we see these teams with these elite quarterbacks and passing games just throwing around. You remember that Monday night game a couple of years ago with the Rams and the Chiefs, you know, then they play just back and forth, like 51, whatever the score was. You guys remember?
54-51, like those, I think it was.
Yeah, right? I mean, like back and forth. We're seeing a lot of this. I don't know. I go back to, you think about in context what happened when the Bills beat the Raiders to go to the first Super Bowl and they won 51-3. It was 41-3 at halftime. This is 1990, right? Not like we're playing in this kind of era of football like we are today. So sure, I think it's one of the better performances and maybe the best performance I've ever seen. I think in context, you have to think, like, this is the way teams play now. They're aggressive. They throw the ball down the field. They have these elite quarterbacks that are super talented. I do think it's remarkable to look at some of the statistics, though, which are what you just mentioned. It wasn't just, now Bill Belichick goes 240-something games his whole career without ever having a team not having to punt against him, and then it happens the day after Christmas. And then the same team not only does it again to them, but doesn't even face a fourth down. I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? So if there's one thing to nitpick a little bit, they did have 2 extra points blocked, so wasn't the absolute perfect day, I think, overall. And I think maybe that's something that a coach can go back and go, you know, we weren't perfect. We had this happen. But they have so many options. Yeah, they have so many options. They have so many weapons. They're running the ball really well now, which really complements and accentuates the passing game as well. And I think, you know, Josh Allen was as dialed in as I've seen anyone on Saturday night.
Was he ever? And you talk about being dialed in. You mentioned the Belichick, statistics and stuff like that. To do what they were able to do against one of the greatest coaches in NFL history in Bill Belichick and a top 5 defense in back-to-back games, and I stated that earlier, that as great as Bill Belichick has been, I believe, considering what we've seen the Bills do to them over the last 2 games, that Josh Allen is the kryptonite to Bill Belichick. Do you not agree?
Yeah, and look, let me go even a little bit further because I want to look down the road a little bit.
Yes, go further, baby. Go further. Let's go.
This is going to be like this for a while, guys, for a couple of reasons, I think. Now, Crin, and maybe the Patriots can win a game here. That happens in football.
You throw a weather game with winds and snow, it can happen.
Yeah, right. There's a real big gap between these 2 teams right now, and it starts at the quarterback position, right? I mean, we know that Josh Allen and Mac Jones, and no disrespect to Mac Jones, he had a nice rookie year. He might win rookie of the year. Probably will be. Mm-hmm. But there's a clear talent gap there, and, you know, even in if Mac Jones even reaches his ceiling, there will always be a talent gap, I think, right there. But here's the other part about this. You know, you just said it, one of the greatest coaches. I don't consider, I know it's I know it's sacrilege. I don't consider Bill Belichick the greatest coach in NFL history. I think he is the most accomplished coach, right? No doubt. He's won all those Super Bowls. There's no doubt about. But to me, to be the greatest coach, you have to adapt and do different things. You got look at guys like Joe Gibbs and how they won with three different quarterbacks in Super Bowls. But Bill Belichick, it's like he went into a time machine in the year 2001 when Tom Brady was his quarterback, and for 20 years he won because he had this quarterback who was so great and covered up all the warts and things like that. Then he comes out in 2021, and he's still trying to win games like it's 1990. You can't win the way Bill Belichick wants to win these days.
He hasn't adapted.
He hasn't evolved. He went out and spent all this money on these tight ends. No weapons. They don't have weapons on the outside. Look what we're just talking about with the Bills. Look at the difference in all the weapons they have and how they play. He's trying to win games.
Keep going, Sal. I love this. Yes.
Right. And look, one thing that was really, really clear to me on Saturday night, the Patriots are slow. They're a slow team. They couldn't keep up with the Bills. Bill Belichick built a defense that, yeah, there's some versatile players. They're really smart. But guess what? They can't keep up in a 2021 world. I think Bill Belichick has to reassess how he wants to coach philosophically. And it's 70 years old. I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to think, I'm Bill Belichick. I'm just going to roll out there and be smarter than everybody else. Well, it doesn't work like that anymore when you don't have Tom Brady. This is the Bills division.
He's broken. Okay, well, Bill Belichick is broken by the Bills.
Let me interrupt this Bills love-in for just a moment here. And we're joined by Sal Capaccio, who probably will not be booked on our show by our producer, Arad, who's a huge Patriots fan. So our producer, Sal, is not a big fan of what you just said about Bill Belichick. But I think there is a distinction.
Admit it, Arad. He's right.
Yeah, I think there is a distinction. Between Belichick, the GM, and the talent evaluator, and Belichick, the coach. So I think that would be maybe a part of the argument I would disagree with you on that. So, Sal, just quickly, because I know we're a little bit up against the clock, I want to get your take, because I know you're traveling to KC this week, and an amazing game on Sunday night between the Bills and the Chiefs. How are you feeling about Buffalo's chances to stage what would be a small upset, at least according to Vegas, in KC?
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this game and how each team is going to attack guys, because I think you have two tremendous coaching staffs who are going to try to figure out a different game plan than the one that was used either A, in Kansas City in last year's championship game when the Chiefs won, or B, Sunday night when the Bills won there back in October, because, you know, both teams have these elite quarterbacks. You don't want to take the ball out of their hands. At the same time, the Chiefs have been vulnerable against the run, and the Bills are running the ball well. I'd like to see the Bills be able to do that. I think this is a real good test for this secondary now, and they have not – since Tre'Davious White got hurt, they haven't faced this type of unit, right? But now they're going to face all these receivers and cover them, and that's going to be a challenge for the Bills. The way the Bills are playing offense, I think they can score. Maybe we're looking at a shootout, but then what does it say about the Bills' defense, which is number one in the league? This is going to be super interesting. I can't wait to dive more into it as the week goes on, but it's a great opportunity. And look, I tell you, real quick, before the game ended on Saturday, we were told to be prepared for a Sunday 3 o'clock game. Actually, I think the league was thinking about that. And then once everything started to unwind on Saturday night and seeing what the Bills did, and then Sunday last night, I think the league said we got to have these two guys, Mahomes and Allen, in our prime window on Sunday, and that's why the game was put there.
Yeah, it's a no brainer. This is going to be the game of the weekend. And I think San Fran and Green Bay will be a really good game. I think if it's the Rams or the Cards against Tampa, I think it'll be a good game. I think Bengals and Titans will be a good game. But you're talking about an over under of almost 55 points between KC and Buffalo, and they played some great games in the past. And I think Sunday will be an absolutely outstanding game as well. Safe travels to KC. Imagine it's a snowy day in Buffalo as well. There's a ton of snow here in Toronto, Sal.
A lot of snow today. I have tickets to the Sabres game. We don't even know if we'll be – and I only live 3 miles from the arena, and I don't know if we'll be able to make it out. I'm doing the Shemai show coming up here in about 10 minutes from Studio Capaccio here in downtown Buffalo.
Ooh,
so.
Studio Capaccio. Yes. I love it.
Right? That's a little nickname I have come up with it for it. It's a lot easier in this remote world, but, I mean, really, it's tough driving out there. But, yeah, we're going to try and maybe get to the Sabres game and see how it goes. But, you know, just not do anything stupid. If we can't drive out there, a lot of people can't. There's some driving bans, so everybody needs to stay safe. The good news is, looks like good weather in Kansas City for the game, probably around 25, 30 degrees, no precipitation or wind.
Love it. It's a lot of snow here, and again, if everyone out there, whoever out there is listening right now, we encourage you to drive slow, drive safe, and keep your eyes on the road, because it's dangerous conditions there. Sal, thank you so much for doing this. Hopefully we can catch up maybe next week. And again, we can debate Belichick's greatness as an NFL head coach.
Please.
Anytime, guys. Don't be a stranger. Always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You got it, Sal. Thanks, thanks, buddy. That's Sal Capaccio. Covers the Bills for WGR 550 in Buffalo. And, man,
he's
that
broken,
radio
man.
Station. Bill that Belichick radio station. Broken. Can you imagine, like, the excitement, just the unbridled enthusiasm and passion that the city of Buffalo has for the Bills and coming off that win? Oh, man, they must be pumped. And my Bills, plus 850 to win the Super Bowl, now down to plus 500. So ooh. I like that. Also, one bet I haven't even talked about today was I might have discussed it last week, how I had the Bills and the Patriots to be the highest scoring game of Wild Card Weekend.
No, you didn't discuss it because I just found out about it last night when you were tweeting about it.
So they put up 64 points. It was 47-17 for the Bills. And I thought, okay, no one's coming close to 64. Last night, the Steelers and the Chiefs, and if you saw the end of the game, and I was probably one of the only people on the planet who was watching that game, not in Pittsburgh or KC, because that game was over. They were driving Pittsburgh, and all they needed was one more point to match the Bills and Patriots. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, unfortunately for anyone who was maybe had that game as the highest scoring game, Pittsburgh unable to punch it in. The clock runs out at the goal line.
Big Ben,
almost.
You trust. In Big
and,
Ben, you
well,
trust.
They put up a lot of points in the second half, did Big Ben and the Steelers.
Well, sure. Nobody's playing defense anymore. Well, they're just trying to run the game out.
That's exactly it. So let's hope the Rams and the Cards stay below 64, which is a pretty safe assumption. And I will be a lot richer tomorrow morning. And I'll be in a good mood for once. we'll be back on the other side to wrap things up. We'll tee up the Raps and the Heat, a game you could hear on TSN 1050 as First Up rolls on. Can you name the song, Coco?
I can't, no.
I believe it's Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, correct, Chrissy? Okay, yeah, one of the greatest songs of all time. If I didn't know that, major problems with my group of friends who are all huge Zeppelin fans, as am I. Zeppelin, one of the great bands of all time, of course. And, of course, you're listening to First Up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carla Koliakova with you. Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's a federal holiday in the United States. There's lots of basketball going on this afternoon. You're seeing New Orleans and Boston kick things off at 12:30. Of course, this day honors the civil rights activist and minister who has helped bring about change and racial justice during his lifetime, which is perhaps more important now than it has been in a long time. So certainly a very important day on the calendar here, and that's something that we're celebrating here in Canada, although it's not a holiday per se, certainly something we're at least acknowledging and recognizing its importance. So a busy day in the sports world. South of the border, as I mentioned, all these basketball games going on, including tonight in Miami, where the Raptors, 3-point dogs at the Heat. And I know Kyle Lowry's not playing, but third game in four nights for the Raps, kind of like the Heat there. It seems like a short price to pay. You get him on the money line, minus 150, 20 fingers. You didn't give me the thumbs up on that one. What do you think? Yeah, he kind of likes it too. I'm with you. And that just seems, I think there's a lot of wear and tear when it comes to minutes and physicality from the Raptors, a letdown spot perhaps after the Milwaukee game. The game's on TSN 1050 tonight, and I think I might have a small wager on the Miami Heat. We'll see. But we dialed into that game.
Well,
and the
it's
Rams
funny you say that
well.
Because it's funny you say that because there was an interesting quote that came out from Fred VanVleet after the Milwaukee game, and it really explains a lot about this Raptors team. He said, "We're one of those teams, I feel, that can compete with anybody in the league when we're at our best. But when we're not, we're pretty average." And so that, to me, is basically saying that's a team that plays up to its competition and plays down to its competition. So you talk about the 3-point spread. I mean, nobody gave them a chance to go into Milwaukee and win that game, considering the things that were up against them with the back-to-back and the fact that they came off an embarrassing loss against Detroit, missing three of their starters, but they went in and won. So you can't count this team out, man. You really can't.
No, and it looks like Scotty Barnes will be back in the lineup as well, and he's been kind of in and out with knee soreness, and I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but it sounds like he'll be ready to go, and Gary Trent remains a question mark. So, I mean, that's it's a tough one tonight in Miami, and No Kyle Lowry for the Heat, so you will not see him and Van Vliet go head-to-head, and we're all looking forward to that happening. We're looking forward to Monday Night Football as well. The Rams hosting the Cards, the Rams 4.5-point favorites. So, busy day in sports, a busy night in sports ahead as well. And if you're out there on the
busy
road,
day outdoors.
Careful. Well, yeah, get the shovels out, get the snowblower out like Darren Dreger, and do your thing there because it's going to be a tough day. I think we all wish we were down in Hawaii, like Mark Zucchino covering the Sony Open, Hideki Matsuyama.
By the way,
tournament.
I'm glad you mentioned Zucchino. Did you see the video he posted on his Instagram, I believe? It was a guy surfing. Is that him?
I don't think Zucchino's a surfer. But he could be. I don't know.
Okay. Because there was no caption or nothing. It was just a video
maybe
surfing.
He is. Maybe he is. Maybe they'll bring it up on Golf Talk Canada, which is coming your way next. Thanks to 20 Fingers. Thanks to Arad. I'm Aaron Korolnik. He's Carlo Koliakovo. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Ciao.